KCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Crosstalk on a busy Friday. Here are our news roundup day today on Crosstalk. There is much news that we'd like to present to you today. Our thanks to Sandy for preparing so many great stories here for us today. And wow, is there a lot that's going on. And friends, I trust as we go through these stories today, it should awaken us to where we are as a culture, where our society is today, how far we have walked away from biblical truth and biblical principles, and the vast importance for us to stay true to scriptures and to uphold that which is truth. You see, all of what we see and hear in our society, it changes from day to day, but biblical truth always stands. We don't have to see what's the latest from the Bible. It's always truth, always there, true from the beginning to the end. And when we see some of the things happening in our culture today, it should drive us to our knees and praying for those around us, those who are so deceived by the matters going on in this world and a need for people to come to know the Savior. I was just floored as the story came through as to a town hall event that was held last night by Ocasio-Cortez. This would be Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, in which there was the thought that that came forth, one of the participants saying, we only have a few months left, and that it's time to start eating babies. I'm going to play for you the audio clip, because as the phone, or as the microphone was made available to the people gathering together for this town hall event for AOC, you're going to hear with your own ears how bizarre and how far attuned away from God we really have become. Listen to this exchange.
We're going to be here for much longer because of the climate crisis. We only have a few months left. I love that you support the Green Deal, but it's not getting rid of fossil fuel. It's not going to solve the problem fast enough. A Swedish professor saying, you know, we can eat dead people, but that's not fast enough. So I think your next campaign slogan has to be this. We got to start eating babies. We don't have enough time. There's too much CO2. All of you, you're pollutants. Too much CO2. We have to start now, please. You are so great. I'm so happy that you're really supporting the Green Deal, but it's not enough. You know, even if we would bomb Russia, we still have too many people, too much pollution. So we have to get rid of the babies. That's a big problem. Just stopping having babies is not enough. We need to eat the babies under this basis. Please give a response.
Thank you. We'll go ahead. Okay. No, we'll go ahead. It's so no. Yeah, no. Thank you. So I think So one of the things that's very important to us is that we need to treat the climate crisis with the urgency that it does present. Luckily, we have more than a few months. We do need to hit net zero in several years. But I think we all need to understand that there are a lot of solutions that we have and that we can pursue, and that if we act in a positive way, there's space for hope. We are never beyond hope.
See, folks, where the wackiness has taken us, we've made this climate a god to us. And here we have this person participating in the town hall just in a meltdown mode. That even if we bombed Russia, that's not enough. We got to get rid of more people. We need to start eating babies. This is where the Green New Deal takes us, folks. This is where the Swedish professor takes us. This is where it takes us when we turn our hearts away from God. Start eating babies? We only have a few months left. And then you combine that with this Greta Thunberg, who spoke before the United Nations here recently on this climate change issue. She's a climate change alarmist. And now we have the Church of Sweden announced that this young girl is a successor to Jesus Christ. They made that announcement last December, but it's resurfaced in tweets once again. Announcement, it says, Jesus of Nazareth has now appointed one of his successors, Greta Thunberg, the Church of Limham tweeted out. The Church of Sweden promoting the activism here on climate change. The Church of Sweden announced that they would ring their church bells in conjunction with the global climate strike of which Thunberg is the face. She gave a radical speech at the United Nations. My message is that we'll be watching you. This is all wrong. I shouldn't be here. I should be back in school. Yes, Greta, you need to, because you need to get educated. She said, people are suffering. People are dying. Entire ecosystems are collapsing. We are in the beginning of a mass extinction, and all you can talk about is money and fairy tales of eternal economic growth. How dare you? So here we have one climate alarmist saying we need to start eating babies. We've got to reduce the population. We've got another entity, the Church of Sweden, announcing that this Greta Thunberg is a successor now to Jesus Christ. Bernie Sanders wants abortions up to birth nationwide because he also is saying that we are overpopulated. LifeNews.com has the story. He enthusiastically endorsed the idea that we need to curb population growth and went on to claim that women in poor countries do not want to have large numbers of babies but are being denied a choice in the matter. I don't know if you saw the correction that came through Nature magazine. WND.com is the story. Nature magazine has retracted the study on so-called global warming that claimed humans were creating warming in the oceans. With a quote, we realize that our reported uncertainties were underestimated owing to our treatment of certain systematic errors as random errors, the magazine said. Scientist Nick Lewis said the climate field needs to get professional statisticians involved up front if it's going to avoid this kind of embarrassment in the future. Nature credited Lewis with helping it realize the errors. We are not overpopulated. By the way, Life Change Sunday coming up this Sunday across the nation. If you want to find the Life Chain nearest you, you can go to lifechain.net. This is a visual reminder across busy streetways and byways and highways around the nation that abortion kills children. Think about that. Abortion kills children. And that's why you've got so many the eco nuts that are promoting, I mean, the eating of children. Got to cut the population down. Abortion kills children, ladies and gentlemen. We need to recognize what is happening there. LifeChain.net to learn more about the life chain nearest you. Let's go to the state of Michigan. LifeSiteNews.com tells us that pro-life advocates in Michigan are more than halfway to collecting enough valid signatures to initiate veto-proof legislation that would ban dismemberment abortions in the second trimester. The state's constitution allows legislation to be initiated through a petition with over 340,000 valid supporters that cannot be changed by the legislature. It cannot be vetoed by the governor. So far, they have over 200,000 signatures. Their goal is over 400,000 signatures. Michigan's legislature passed legislation in May to ban D&E abortions in the state, but Governor Whitmer said she would veto the legislation when it came to her desk. LifeNews.com tells us that Pete Buttigieg believes that defenseless human beings who are convicted of crimes should not be subjected to the death penalty. He believes it's morally wrong to put suspected terrorists like Khalid Sheikh Mohammed to death. As you know, Mohammed is accused of organizing the September 11, 2001 attacks upon America, faces charges for allegedly murdering 2,976 people, his trial before a military tribunal scheduled for January, saying these are people who may deserve to die, I just don't know anybody who deserves to kill them, Buttigieg said. But when asked about abortions in the third trimester, he said he thinks they should be legal. The bottom line is, as horrible as that choice is, that women and family may seek spiritual guidance, they may seek medical guidance, but that decision isn't going to be made any better. I trust women to draw the line. He claims that unborn babies can be aborted up until they draw their first breath, saying parts of the Bible mention how life begins with breath. But here we have, no, you cannot kill somebody who has allegedly murdered over 2,900 individuals, but it's okay to kill the innocent little baby in the womb? Well, the horrors of abortion continues. According to investigators, this is from Korea, the KoreaHerald.com. According to investigators, a Vietnamese national who was 6 weeks into her pregnancy was described nutritional supplements on August 7th when she entered the delivery room where the hospital apparently also gave injections and conducted surgeries. Neither the nurse nor the doctor checked the patient's identity, confusing her for the patient on the charts that they were looking at. The nurse injected the patient with anesthesia, after which the nurse performed the abortion. The woman returned to the hospital the next few days after experiencing a bloody discharge and was told that the fetus had been aborted. Police booked both a gynecologist and nurse on charges of professional negligence for failing to perform their duty to confirming the patient's identity prior to the medical procedure. You see, the doctors performed the abortion on the wrong patients. Aren't we supposed to be having doctors and nurses that are there for preserving life, do no harm? Do you want to be going to a facility that both kills babies and delivers them? In this place, they got the people mixed up. Looking at LifeNews.com, the pro-abortion group NARAL celebrated its 50th anniversary last week by giving a failed presidential candidate, Hillary Clinton, its Lifetime Achievement Award. Clinton stated, quote, "Women's rights are human rights, and for 50 years, NARAL has taken up the toughest fights to protect our most fundamental freedoms. Happy anniversary. Let's keep going." Clinton spent a lot of time criticizing Donald Trump, who has taken strong steps to protect human rights for both the born and unborn. The president cut taxpayer funding to abortion providers, urged countries to stand together against the UN's abortion agenda, and defended the conscience protection rights of pro-medical workers. Clinton slammed Trump as a danger to the future of America and urged Democrats in Congress to impeach him. By the way, in Slovakia, some 50,000 people last week gathered in the capital there to call for an end to legal abortion. Over 10,000 abortions conducted in 2017. The marchers seek societal and legislative protection of life of every human from conception until natural death. In Illinois, though, they're pushing a bill. A state lawmaker there is pushing legislation to bar reimbursement for state employees who travel to states with pro-life laws. No, you can't go to a pro-life state. They claim they want to protect their employees from governments that protect the unborn, or the preborn there. As they say, a member of the legislature had the responsibility to protect our state employees, particularly women who may not be able to get the health care they may need when they're traveling an official state business. You just might travel to a state that's pro-life and you're not going to have access to kill your baby there? Something's wrong. Folks in Illinois, better pay attention. We'll be right back.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, now we know there are volcanoes here on Earth, but are they found anywhere else in the solar system?
Chris, we find evidence of volcanism on all the rocky planets and many of the moons. Our own moon gives evidence of much volcanism in times past. Recent studies of Mars show that huge volcanoes were there as well. On the moons of the gaseous planets, some may even still be active. It appears to me that much of this volcanism is associated with meteorite impact. I wouldn't be surprised that at the time of the flood, the whole solar system got bombarded by meteorites. Remember the big picture of creation thinking. A very good creation, perfect in every sense, ruined by the introduction of sin and the curse on all of creation, and then restructured by the flood of Noah's day. Often God used natural causes to bring about his supernatural intent. And that's the way I see it, from a back to Genesis perspective.
Thanks for joining us for Back to Genesis.
This is Crosstalk on BCY America. It's a Friday News Roundup today, and it's amazing. I still have a hard time thinking about this woman crying out at this town hall meeting for AOC that we need to start eating babies, that we only have a few months left. Folks, we've been hearing that kind of Chicken Little talk for decades. And I tell you, the war against those who are standing up for life is intensifying. I mean, it is unbelievable the lengths that are being held and gone to in order to stop pro-life. I mean, here we have in Illinois legislation to try and stop state employees from state travel to states that are pro-life. And then, have you heard what happened in Hagerstown, Maryland at a city council meeting? There was a time in which, this was September 24th, the city council was meeting, and at the end of the council meeting, they opened it up for taking comments from the public. And so they announced for people to come up, they called them up by name, and when the first citizen started speaking, just within seconds, when he mentioned the word abortion during his comment period, another council member interrupted. I mean, he had just got the word abortion out. He interrupts and makes a motion to adjourn the meeting, saying he did not want to stay and listen. I want you to hear what happened at the Hagerstown, Maryland City Council meeting.
All right, so now we're moving on to citizen comments. Harold King, Boone's Bar, please step up. Give us your name and address, please.
Sir, good evening. My name is Harold King. I'm a resident of Boonesboro, Maryland. However, our family does do most of our shopping activities here in Hagerstown, Maryland. We like it a lot here, and I want to thank you for your time this evening. I'm here tonight to talk to you about the atrocity that has been occurring in Hagerstown for many years, currently at 160 West Washington Street. That atrocity, as you may well know, is abortion, the murder of unborn humans.
Mr. Mayor, I move we adjourn. Under Robert Scholes, that's a precedent motion.
It is.
We're running out of motions.
I need to get a second.
Second.
The discussion?
I don't particularly want to say unless in the conversation.
See, God is the creator of...
Anybody else?
On the floor?
You have a motion on the floor.
I think, you know, it's
from the moment of conception, there is a developing human life.
When you want
nothing
to
grows if
point
it is
of change of law.
Point of order is Mr. Hefferman's making a discussion during a discussion moment of a motion that was made. Please wait till Mr. Heffernan is finished. Go ahead.
When you want to change a law, it doesn't do any good to go before a body that has no control whatsoever. I mean, we hear this week after week after week in citizen comments, or month after month, I should say, in citizen comments, and this body has absolutely no control. Even if we wanted to do, if we all agreed to do something, there's nothing in the city charter, there's nothing the city can do. This is a federal.
So part of the reason I'm here is because there are...
We have a motion, we have a second, we have a discussion from the body. Any other discussion on the motion to adjourn? How say you?
Aye.
Okay, we're adjourned.
And just like that, it's over. Here they called his name up to come and make his presentation before the city council. And I was just watching the clock. It took a whole 2 seconds after he talked about innocent life in the womb. It took 2 seconds for a council member to make a motion to adjourn, which has precedent over anything else that is going on until they vote on it. And once they vote on it, of course, the meeting is over. See, we don't want to hear this kind of talk. We don't want to hear that it's wrong to put little innocent babies to death. It's amazing, folks. That's in our society today, our culture today. And we wonder why it is we have such violence in the streets. In September, this is from American Family Association. In September, the House Ways and Means Committee made it clear it is specifically coming after the American Family Association. The Oversight Subcommittee held a hearing on how the tax code subsidizes hate for the purpose of stripping AFA of its legal 501c3 tax-exempt status, as reported by LifeSite News. Representative John Lewis of Georgia accused faith-based groups and conservative groups like AFA and others of promoting hate based on race, gender, religion, sexual orientation, or ethnicity. And he supports stripping them of their legally entitled tax-exempt status. AFA said it is no secret that a fantasy of the political left is to shut down any and every organization that disagrees with its agenda to destroy our great country. AFA will fight back against these attacks and will continue promoting Christian activism as we've done for the past 40 years. Some of the organizations targeted: Family Research Council, Center for Security Policy, Federation of Americans for Immigration Reform, the American College of Pediatricians, many groups. There are just a few of more than 60 groups that the Southern Poverty Law Center designated as being so-called hate groups. Coming to us from PJ Media, the Hamas-linked Council on American Islamic Relations sent out a press release last Wednesday demanding that Twitter suspend its most important account, that of President Donald Trump. Why? Because the president has repeatedly enraged leftists by going over the heads of the establishment media and talking directly to the American people through his tweets. They don't like his tweets. They are criticizing the likes of Ilhan Omar, and they're asking for Twitter to suspend the president's account. They're trying to keep the president off the ballot in California. But on Wednesday, a judge blocked California law that had been signed into law, keeping his name off the ballot ahead of the 2020 election. President Trump declares victory. And here we have a group that is saying, hey, you need to suspend President Donald Trump. And then you got this other group talking about suspending all these hate groups because of their hate. Well, listen to Rashida Tlaib. Rashida Tlaib was, as townhall.com puts it, a founding member of the squad. And she was getting a tour of the Detroit Police Department Real-Time Crime Center in order to review its latest facial recognition on technology. And while she was there, she expressed her concern that only black people should be employed as facial recognition analysts. She said they need to be African Americans, not people that are not, and saying how people, she said, think non-African Americans think African Americans all look the same, and talks about how people get confused with one another. Well, friends, I've been confused as being somebody else many a time. But listen, exactly as Rashida Tlaib was there at the police department.
You know what, and also analysts need to be African Americans, not people that are not. Because let me tell you, no, this happens all the time.
Okay.
It's true.
Okay.
I mean, I think non-African Americans think African Americans all look the same. I've seen it even on the house floor, people calling Elijah Cummings John Lewis and John Lewis Elijah Cummings, and they're totally different people. I'm just saying.
That's just,
well, I see it all the time, and I love them because they, like, go along with it.
Well, I trust people who are trained.
I know.
Regardless of race, regardless of gender, it's about the training.
But it does make a huge difference.
So,
it does.
Well, hats off to the police chief there, who is saying, I support people who are trained, regardless of their race in this regard. But you know, to perpetuate it, right? Can you imagine if someone opposite had said that you would only want white people to serve in that position? The outrage that would be in media across this nation? Also from CBN last week, a sixth grade student at a private Christian middle school in Springfield, Virginia, accused three white boys of holding her down and cutting her hair during recess. The girl's family filed a police report. They demanded that all the alleged attackers be charged with assault and to be expelled from school. Folks, this thing went viral. And do you know why it went viral? It's because this is the school that Karen Pence, the wife of Vice President Mike Pence, had taught at the art class part-time, and so to students from the first through fifth grades. But guess what? The story came out now that the girl has made the whole thing up. Another fake hate crime reported. Incidentally, Todd Starnes reports that Florida middle school lesson labeled President Donald Trump as being, quote, an idiot. Yeah, in school. The parent of a Florida middle school student is outraged after his daughter was given a test that depicted President Trump as an idiot. The test given to students at Duncan Middle School in Palm Beach County described President Trump as a businessman, a Republican, and an idiot. Spokesperson for the Palm Beach County School Board says the incident is under investigation. They provided a letter that was mailed to every parent at the school. Several Democratic senators have attacked one of President Trump's judicial nominees. Why? For her pro-life views and personal service on behalf of the unborn. This is WND.com. Sarah Pitlick has been nominated to a seat in the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Missouri. She's worked several years as special counsel for the pro-life Thomas More Society in Chicago. She helped defend an Iowa law. She defended a law that banned abortion in the state after a fetal heartbeat is detected. Also worked with the coalition defending David Dalyden and the Center for Medical Progress. The nominee said her previous work would have no impact on her judicial decision, saying, I think I stand in the long line of other people who have sat at the table, who have had long histories in advocacy or in issue-related advocacy or in politics and who have become very distinguished jurors, she said. Troubling story from WND.com. Doctors at a Phoenix hospital last Friday removed organs from a man who had been admitted with breathing difficulties, then turned off his ventilator, leading to his death, according to the Life Legal Defense Foundation. The organization represents the family of Ruben Vady, who suffered a drug overdose before he died at Honor Health John C. Lincoln Medical Center. Vady was admitted to the hospital September 11th, declared brain dead by doctors 4 days later. The family had obtained a court order requiring the hospital to transfer him to another hospital, but the hospital did not comply. Then the Organ Processing Corporation sued the family to take possession of his organs. The donor company escorted his family off the hospital property, took possession of the remains without informing the family of any ultimate plans after the organs were taken. Parents are still unclear about what happened between the time their son was placed in the ambulance and when he was declared brain dead. They've asked for a second examination by an independent neurologist as well as an EEG. Honor Health refused both requests. Instead, the hospital removed the feeding tube, the legal team said. The organization said that although Ruben checked the organ donor box in his most recent driver's license renewal, he later expressed remorse over his decision. The family said that Ruben had been responsive, including cheering up at the sound of his father's voice, a circumstance described as inconsistent with brain death. The family had made it clear that they do not want his organs removed at this time. They want to give their son every opportunity to recover, said Life Legal Executive Director Alexandra Snyder. The Phoenix ABC affiliate reported that the family had obtained an order on Thursday for another evaluation, but the judge said it had to be someone within the hospital system, which had already declared him dead. I've got a few more stories after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
From the invention of writing, this world has been mostly ruled by kings. Power which concentrates into the hands of one person often rewards his friends, though, and punishes his enemies. The King of England was the most powerful king this planet had seen. So when Americans got the chance, they set up a government as far from a king as possible. A republic where the people are king, ruling through their representatives. How do republics rise and fall? How did 45 countries fall to communist dictators? Are these tactics used in America today? These and other issues are addressed in the book, Who is the King in America? By William Federer. This book provides the reader with an overview of 6,000 years of history and why America is unique. Discover the keys to preserving the freedoms of America's republic. Who is the King in America? It's available for a donation of $18 or more. Ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
we've got a news roundup today here on Crosstalk on VCY America, and just sharing with you so much of the bizarre that is going on. But, folks, this is where we're living today, and this is what's going on in our society today. Right is wrong. Wrong is right. Light is dark. Dark is light. I mean, we don't understand anymore. We changed, definitions in the dictionary of words that have been standing for centuries and eons. Looking at a story from CNSNews.com, a Fairfax County, Virginia police officer has been suspended because he helped ICE take an illegal immigrant into custody. According to the Fairfax County Police, the officer responded to a traffic accident September 21st in the Alexandria, Virginia, found that one driver did not have a driver's license. While trying to check the driver's information, the DMV record, the officer was notified by ICE that the driver was wanted by ICE for an administrative violation warrant on file for the failure to appear for a deportation hearing. Well, the officer confirmed the warrant through the county's public safety communications teletype system, and that then contacted the ICE agent that was the point of contact for the warrant. The ICE agent informed the officer that they were close by and were heading to the scene. The officer issued a uniform summons to the driver for not having a driver's license and had the driver sign it. Then the officer detained the driver through a custodial detention and turned the driver over to the ICE agent's custody. Fairfax County Police Chief Edwin Rossler issued a statement which says the officers are not allowed to enforce or detain for administrative warrants. You know what's happening to that officer now? He's been relieved of all law enforcement duties pending the outcome of this investigation. Suspended for helping ICE to enforce a warrant. And then let's go to New York City as Washington Times reports. New York City has made it against the law. Against the law to call someone an illegal alien or threaten them by calling immigration officials on them. City Hall's Commission on Human Rights released the new measures that could pose up to a $250,000 fine. The measure reads, the use of certain language, including illegal alien and illegals, with the intent to demean, humiliate, or offend a person or persons constitutes discrimination. The directive also lists examples of illegal behavior, including threatening to call immigration and customs and enforcement. So even if you just threaten to call ICE or harassing them for using a different accent or English abilities, or if a landlord would threaten to call U.S. immigration authorities, if they would call ICE, if an immigrant family complains about finding mold and cockroaches in their dwelling. A $250,000 fine? Here's an interesting story from Christian Headlines. Worshippers at one Buddhist temple in Kyoto, Japan, feel robotic qualities are not a bug of their new clergy, they're a feature. They have a new priest named Mandar, an actual robot. For now, its clerical repertoire is limited to delivering the same sermon repeatedly, but its creators hope to use artificial intelligence to enable it to perform other duties, like counseling. As a temple steward said, Buddhism isn't a belief in a god, it's pursuing Buddha's path. It doesn't matter whether it's represented by a machine, a piece of scrap metal, or a tree. Well, let me tell you this, ladies and gentlemen. My God is alive. My God is the great I am. Not a robot, not a machine. Alliance Defending Freedom attorneys representing a French teacher fired from his job at West Point High School in Williamsburg, Virginia, for declining to refer to a female student with male pronouns, filed suit in state court Monday after the West Point Beach Board. The superintendent of the West Point schools ordered Peter Flaming to use a student's preferred pronouns. He was willing to use the student's preferred name instead of her given name and attempted to avoid any use of any pronouns. He was directed to cease avoiding the use of male pronouns to refer to the student. So the board fired him when he stated he couldn't do that in good conscience. This isn't about a pronoun, it's about what the pronoun means, explained ADF senior counselor Tyson Langhofer. This was never about anything Peter said or did or about what the school was demanding. Nobody should be forced to contradict his core beliefs just to keep a job. NBC reported that he's seeking $1 million in damages for violating his free speech and conscience rights, as well as attempting to force him to violate his religious convictions. By the way, an LGBT advocacy group, this is the Christian Post, has introduced a proposal for the United Methodist Church's General Conference aimed at splitting the UMC into four new denominations. UM Forward called it the New Expressions Worldwide Plan, if approved by the General Conference next year. The new plan is being introduced as a way to resolve the years-long divisive debate within the UMC over the mainline Protestant denomination stance on LGBT issues. The four denominations laid out by the plan would include a traditionalist Methodist church, a moderate Methodist church, a progressive Methodist church, and a liberation Methodist church. UM Forward was created to support a failed proposal for the special session of the General Conference that was called the Simple Plan, which would have removed all language in the Book of Discipline against homosexuality and gay marriage. However, the special session in February voted to approve the traditional plan, which maintained the UMC's current position on LGBT issues. So next year, a vote on whether to have the New Expressions Worldwide Plan. Let's open some phone lines here today on Crosstalk. If you'd like to comment on one of these or other current event stories, I've had a lot here. Maybe you want to comment on this whole matter of this person speaking out at the town hall meeting saying we need to eat babies. We've got to reduce our carbon footprint. We're not doing it fast enough. We've only got a short time ahead, just months to live before this planet is destroyed by so-called man-made global warming. By the way, from CBN, the commander of Iran's Revolutionary Guard Corps said on Monday that Iran now has the capability to destroy Israel. Major General Hussein Salami called Israel a sinister regime that must be wiped off the map. This is no longer a dream, but it's an achievable goal, he said. Iran is under immense economic and political pressure amid increased tension with the West. They also frequently target the United States' closest Middle East ally, Israel, with threats of complete destruction. President Trump had designated this as a terrorist organization, and now they said nothing will be left of Israel. We now have the power to wipe Israel off the map. We'll go to the phone lines here today on Crosstalk, our number 800-733-9829. Steve in Kenosha, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Jim. Putting together what you had today about this woman, oh my gosh, about eating babies. And,
yeah.
And then you had that next gentleman in Maryland that got shut down at a council.
Yeah.
That all ties into one thing. And that's just Satan at work. It's just horrible. And I got one more thing to say, and that is about, I have neighbors. I've been reaching out to my neighbors who claim to be Christians that have abortions, et cetera, and they're just like okay with it. It just breaks my heart, brother.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much farther you could die or delve deep in a situation like this. It is just heartbreaking. I'm broken right now.
Yeah.
Brother, God, Satan is just in his full bore right now.
Yeah.
And I am so broken right now. I'm just in tears. I thank you for your show. God bless you, and just keep moving on, brother, okay?
Thank you, Steve, for the call here. And indeed, our hearts do need to be broken over this very matter here. And when we see the atrocity and to see what lengths we go through. I mean, look at what happened in New York when they passed this Abortion Up to Birth Act, basically, in which they gave a standing ovation for this. How barbaric, how sinister, how holocaustic we are across this nation. Mark and Monroe, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm kind of calling out Bernie Sanders here. He has accused Donald Trump as a pathological liar, which I think is the reciprocal of him actually ratting on himself. He's also guilty of being pro-murder because he stands for abortion. So long story short, it seems to me an accuser, a pro-murderer, and a liar are all attributes of the devil. All I can say is I can't see any good reason to be voting Democratic, especially with what I just mentioned.
Mark, thank you for your thoughts today. We've got Dimitri in Waukesha. You're on the air.
Good afternoon, Jim. God bless you and all the work you guys do here. I just wanted to comment on the United Methodist Church, at how far they've come to walk away from God's Word. The only thing that, in my opinion, they're serious about is their money. They're not looking to win souls. They're not looking to do anything except keep their checking accounts full by doing a split like that. It's silly. There's no other word for it. And unfortunately, they're going to be running people down the wide gate right to hell. It's so unfortunate. Yeah. So I really appreciate everything you guys do there. God bless you, and thank you very much.
Thanks, Dimitri. Let's go to James next. You're on the air, James.
Yes. I was quite concerned when you had this lady on, this lady in a meeting advocating infant cannibalism.
Yep.
Perhaps you might want to get Liberty Counsel involved on this, because I believe that there are laws on the books against advocating murder or cannibalism, just the same as there are laws against advocating causing harm to a sitting president or something like that. That could be punishable by law for somebody to make such a statement and to make such advocacy. Also, it's kind of a precursor to an unveiling of the Antichrist when you look at the Swedish church's claim that this woman is a successor to Christ.
Yeah.
Is that's exactly what's going to happen when they declare the Antichrist and unveil and reveal the man of sin. But it's going to be the man of sin. It specifically says that in the Bible. So where you can be sure that nothing's going to come of this woman, but when that person comes, you know that God is in control. But
thank you,
James. Are laws. There are laws.
Yep.
And this woman should be held to accountable who spoke up in that meeting advocating eating children.
Thank you, James, for your comments. Courtney in Miami, Florida, you're on the air.
God bless all you saints. And I want to thank you for the news every week, because I have a chance to copy it down. And play it when I go to the clinic, if the Lord's permit. But I want to say something about that Methodist church. It should be no surprise, because the Bible tells us that there's going to be a great falling away at the end. But this shows us, saints, that we should, how the Bible tells us to look unto Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. We don't have to worry about the Antichrist, because the Lord, none of us are going to be lost who's in God's hands. And I want to say one thing about the officer that found out the guy that was illegal. They put him back on the force. Thank God for that.
Hmm. Thank you, Courtney. Appreciate the call. Back in 1 minute. This is Crosstalk. It's a News Roundup Friday day. We'll have more of your comments right after the break here on Crosstalk.
For the Worldview Week in Minute, I'm Brennan House. Our website is worldviewradio.com. One survey after another is showing that young people today want to live under socialism. The question is why? One of the reasons is a lack of education. They have not been taught what socialism really is and how it will really end. History is littered with the philosophies of Karl Marx, i.e. socialism, being worked out. It always ends badly. And yet, many have never been taught this. What they've been given is a lot of lofty platitudes, common good, social justice, shared community. They don't understand the evils of socialism, communism, fascism, Marxism. Ronald Reagan, in his farewell address, pleaded with Americans to preserve America through an informed patriotism. Our young people need that, and it includes Economics 101.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. By the way, from ToddStarnes.com, student government leaders at the University of Oklahoma passed a resolution removing the Pledge of Allegiance from their congressional agenda. The activists in training said pledging allegiance to the flag is incompatible with the First Amendment. They were especially triggered by the part of America being, quote, one nation under God. Isn't that something? The Pledge of Allegiance is not compatible with the First Amendment. We talk about what's happening within the Methodist Church and things going on there. I didn't read anything about let's examine the scriptures on this. But I was also troubled by an article on the Christian Post with the headline, Evangelicals More Concerned About Healthcare and the Economy Than Religious Liberty and Abortion. They're told to rank the issues, the issues that are important to them. Don't have time to get into the poll. The Georgetown University professor wrote a white paper on it. They analyzed the survey findings published by the Southern Baptist Convention's Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. But bottom line is, evangelicals were more concerned about health care and the economy than religious liberty and abortion. Let's go to Eddie, calling in from Glasgow, Kentucky. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a pastor of a church, and I'll be brief. But on that CO2 panic that they're trying to dramatize,
yeah.
Do they not know that plants put off CO2 at nighttime? Do they not know that? I mean, they have to get rid of all the plants to get rid of that CO2. And the other comment I had, and I'll be really brief. When a gay community sounded off to America, we'll sodomize your sons in your schools,
yeah.
And America didn't say over my dead body, they must have thought we condoned that condemnation. God bless you for the great work you do. I learned so much from your radio program.
God bless you, Pastor. Thank you for your call today. Richard from Burton, Michigan, you're on the air.
Yes, I appreciate your program today. And it's surprising that in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 54 to 58, cannibalism of children is actually addressed there. It's really a judgment against Israel, but for their unbelief and their disobedience to God's word and his ways. So I'm not going to read that whole thing, but that's Deuteronomy chapter 28:54 to 58. It's rather disturbing, actually.
Thank you. Yeah, child.
There is a good.
Yeah, child sacrifice. I mean, that's how they please their false gods of Molech.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Richard.
All right.
And we're going to pick up Ken in Phoenix, Arizona. You're on the air, Ken.
Hey, thanks for this radio program. I just wanted to add something to the third caller back, who commented about the woman claiming lineage to Christ, and I just caught the end of that. My add to that is it possible that there's a man under that? You know, with all the sex changes nowadays, is that a possibility?
No, I think you misheard. The Church of Sweden announced that this Greta Thunberg, this climate activist, is a successor of Jesus. That's the story he was commenting on.
Okay. All right. Sorry about that.
Thank
great
you, Ken.
Show. Thank you.
Thank you for listening there in Phoenix. Appreciate it so very much. Friends, I'd like to close today. With a story here. The brother of a black man who was shot dead by a white Dallas police officer who said she mistook the victim's apartment for her own, forgave the woman, hugged her in front of the courtroom on Wednesday. I'd like to have you hear some of the testimony from a young man, the 18-year-old brother, or the brother of the individual who was killed. This report from CBN.
This panic-filled scene in September of last year after former Dallas police officer Amber Geiger shot and killed an innocent man, Botham Jean, in his own apartment, resulted in this sentence.
10 years imprisonment in the Texas Department of Criminal Justice.
Geiger said she thought she had walked into her own apartment. CBN reporter Amber Strong reported on the tragedy and the response by Jean's church.
I've interviewed his friends, his ministers, I talked to his teachers, I talked to his employers, and it was all a consistent message that Botham Jean was a servant, that he was kind from the least to the greatest.
The 10-year sentence with the possibility of parole after 5 is far less than the 99 years in prison Geiger faced. Outside the courthouse, the sentence sparked protests and intense confrontations. And Jean's mother spoke out against the police.
If Amber Geiger was trained not to shoot in the heart, my son would be standing here today.
But inside the courtroom, Botham Jean's brother, 18-year-old Brant Jean, showed tremendous forgiveness toward Geiger after the sentence was imposed.
I forgive you. And I know if you go to God and ask Him, He will forgive you. I want the best for you. Because I know that's exactly what Botham would want you to do. And the best would be give your life to Christ.
Then, an amazing show of grace that attorneys, court employees, and reporters said they'd never seen in all their years.
I don't know if this is possible, but can I give her a hug, please? Please?
Yes.
After Brant Jean hugged the sobbing former officer, another remarkable show of love, State District Judge Tammy Kemp gave Geiger a Bible and directed her to read John 3:16 and even hugged her as well. The district attorney said Brant Jean's act was an amazing act of healing and forgiveness that should guide the community going forward. Mark Martin, CBN News.
Again, that story from CBN News. And so we have this Brant Jean, this 18-year-old, saying, I want the best for you. That's exactly what both of them would want you to do, and the best would be to give your life to Christ. It's very moving. It's several minutes long. You can find this clip online. But asked to hug this person who had shot his brother dead and wished this individual would ask God for forgiveness. You see the judge even wiping her own eyes from the tears. And so the state district judge, Tammy Kemp, opened her Bible to John 3:16 and then gave this Bible to the former Dallas police officer, Amber Geiger, who then was let out for jail. The judge even hugged Geiger before being let out of the courtroom. But yesterday, the Freedom From Religion Foundation filed a complaint against Kemp with the Lone Star State government agency who looks into allegations of judicial misconduct, according to New York Times. The atheist organization, headquartered in Madison, believes the judge crossed the ethical line after she sentenced Geiger to 10 years in prison. Well, friends, that 18-year-old got it right. That judge got it right. There's hope and forgiveness, but it's only found in Jesus Christ. Thanks for listening to Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.